Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Wrap with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight. Tua's back. NBA season kicks off tonight. And our friend Rob Adams from the Hudson Valley Renegades joins us on the In Route. But we begin today's show with the Dodgers and the NLCS. They outscored the Mets 10-5 to win game four. And the Mets fans are praising how well the team played down the stretch. And they are calling for Mendoza to be coach of the year. The Dodgers have reached the World Series for the second time in 4 years. Like their fans expected them to. But do you see the results of this series as a Dodger triumph or a Met shortcoming?
It's 100% the Dodger triumph. The Dodgers won. The Dodgers beat the Mets. Absolutely they did. Now, are we on the same page with Ken Rosenthal, who essentially said that the Mets were gifted two wins by the Dodgers? Abso-fucking-lutely not. The Mets took those games. The Mets won those games. And it's absolute horseshit if you were to suggest that they somehow threw two games in the playoffs. Are you out of your fucking mind? Who in God's name would think that a baseball team would intentionally do that? This isn't 1919. Unless they had money on the games, which guess what? If they did, the entire fucking team should be banned. Then congratulations to the Yankees. They win by default. But you can't give up multiple 10-run games. You can't get shut out twice. You can't get your ass kicked in game one because you took a chance on Kodai Senga and it didn't pay off. You took a chance on Jeff McNeil later in the series because Jose Iglesias couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. The magic ran out. It absolutely did. It was bound to run out. You can't win the way they were winning sustainably for an entire playoff run. The Dodgers absolutely won. You can't say otherwise. With the amount of runners in scoring position that the Mets did not bring in, they got 1-for-9 in game six? That's unsustainable. You can't have that. You can't. You can't walk the fucking ballpark. The Dodgers don't chase. The Phillies chase, and they chased, and they chased, and they chased. Bryce Harper's still chasing. Kyle Schwarber still chasing. They're still at home plate swinging. The Dodgers don't do that shit. They don't. So you're going to have to pound the zone with strikes. And when they did pound the zone, they got pounded. Like, you had guys who ran up against their innings limits, who were on fumes, who scratched and clawed, fought tooth and nail, gave everything they had to get to that moment. They had nothing left. And the Dodgers capitalized. This is not on the Mets at all. The Mets lost to a better team. The Mets lost to a more rested team. The Mets lost the series. And that's okay. You can lose. It's okay. That's why they play the games. It's how you build from here. Now, Met fans are proud of the performance. And you have every right to be proud. 0-5 at the beginning of the year. 11 games under 500, Memorial Day. You are in game 6 of the NLCS, and at one point you have a lead. You can absolutely feel good about where this team is going. Does it suck that they lost? Yes. Absolutely it does. Are we going to light our hair on fire here and call for Mendoza to be fired, for David Stearns to be fired, trade every... No! That's absolutely stupid and counterproductive. That was the other guy. The new guy doesn't do that shit. He's not what we call a reactionary guy. He saw something didn't work last year. He traded Scherzer. He traded Verlander. He brought back pieces that were essential to the team this year. He brought back people who are going to be essential down the road. If not here, then someplace else when they trade him for a bigger guy, for a major league ready caliber talent. The New York Mets can learn from this. They will learn from this. Met fans can be excited about the future. They can lament the present because they're home while the Yankees and Dodgers are playing for the World Series. They can absolutely feel that way. They're entitled to feel like this was a successful season based on expectations, based on where they were, based on where they ended up. Absolutely, you can. The same way that you can take solace if you're a Knicks fan. The Knicks have made steady improvement. Now it's time for them, and we're going to talk about the NBA tip-off later. It's time for them to take the next step. The Mets this year are the equivalent of what the Knicks were last year. They added the pieces. They made a little bit of a run. They made some noise. Now it's time for them. They have a shit ton of money coming off the books. Thank you, Justin Verlander. How do you get better? Because guess who's going to get better? The Dodgers. Guess who's going to get better? The Yankees. Guess who's going to get better? Maybe the Braves. They got to re-up their own guys. They have their own problems. They're going to lose Max Fried, probably to the Dodgers. He's from California, and his best friend is Freddie Freeman. So put two and two together, and the Dodgers will spend. The Dodgers will spend. So...
He's trash.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what's happening here. But the Dodgers absolutely won the series. This is not a case of the Mets were cheated. No Met fan is saying that, because they weren't. They weren't. They played straight up. Dodgers beat them. Met fans can be excited. Met fans can be excited. It's okay to be excited.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way on this. You know, they were the best team in the second half. And they kind of went all in because essentially now they're going to lose Petey for nothing. You could have traded him and got some value back. Now he's going to walk out the door. This was a year that they could have won. You could have stole it this year. You were on fire towards the end of the year. You beat a beat-up Braves team that they were just injured all season. You beat a Phillies team that just was cold. They were cold. You beat them in a three-game series. That's all you had to do. Then you have the Brewers are trash. Slap the Brewers around. You get to replace a team that doesn't have good starting pitching. They don't have good starting pitching. But you're outscored 46-26, outscored by 20 runs. You walk Ohtani 9 times. You start Kodai Senga, who hasn't pitched all fucking season. Then you bring him back in. What are we doing? This was prime for the taking. You would have made it into the Subway Series to face a subpar Yankee team. Probably the worst Yankee team that's made the World Series in the last 30 years. And they could have beat them with young talent, fire guys. We went over it today, Z. You're losing talent. There's talent walking out the door.
Who?
Some of it you're okay with.
No. List it. Who? List them.
Pete's gone, man.
First of all, he's 30 years old. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
If the price is right, you make a run at him. But if it's an insane amount of money, he's a Boris client.
He's going to get an insane amount of money. The Cubs are going to pay him. Good. Because they see a star.
249 career hitter. No.
You don't get this far without Pete Alonso. You don't get here.
You don't get this far without the team. But guess what? Pete Alonso had a mediocre season. Look at the numbers. Look at his performance. It was mediocre.
You get here without him. You don't. You can go get Juan Soto. You can go get him. And they will. And that's fine. That will make them competitive. But this was a year you could have walked in. Walked into the World Series.
Now that's bullshit.
Walked in.
That's complete walked bullshit. In. That's complete bullshit.
You're not just as good as the Dodgers. I'm not saying better. You're not just as good as the Dodgers.
No, no, no. Let's spin this back.
You all had the a way- shit series. You had a shit series because you couldn't keep them under 8 runs. But you're not better than the Dodgers. You put up just as much points as the Dodgers did. In some games, they scored 12 in one game. You scored 7 in another game. But you got shut out.
You're the same guy. You are the same guy who sucks off the Dodgers in terms of their stars, right? So
they have stars. They have stars, but they don't have pitching. Could have scored on them. Could have beat them. They're not world beaters. They could be beat. This is a shit team.
But so can the Mets. So can the, that's the fucking point of baseball. That's why we play the games.
But it's not going to be a cakewalk next year.
It's never a cakewalk.
It was
it's never
this
fucking
year.
A cakewalk. It was not. It was not. Easy. You're telling me that you didn't follow one goddamn inning. That's what you're telling me. So a doubleheader in Atlanta after a 3-game series in Milwaukee after the friggin' hurricane where you got Atlanta
you
got
hot.
Rained out.
You were hot.
You
were
they
hot.
Were not hot.
They were the hottest
they
team.
Had, they
the Mets
won.
Were the hottest team in baseball the second half all the way up until facing the Dodgers. What are you talking about? Look
Let's
at it. They have the best
they
record
weren't
in
even
baseball.
Hot the last week of the season. They won 3 out of 4 against the
they
Phillies,
the
and they
best.
Went in the fucking toilet the last goddamn week.
They were the best team in baseball in the second half of the year. Then once they had to face the Braves in that series, they were on. They were on.
They weren't on. They were not
seventh,
on.
The 7th, 8th, and 9th innings, you couldn't get them out.
Right.
You couldn't shut them down.
What happened 1 through 6? Schwellenbach had his fucking way with them. Schwellenbach had his fucking way with
Schwellenbach.
Them. Schwellenbach. Exactly. So don't tell me that they were hot. They were hot for 3 innings. This is what they were. This is what they were. Now, they were up against it with the Brewers. The Brewers were formidable. They went toe-to-toe with the Brewers. It took a friggin' Devin Williams airbender hit over, barely over the right field wall. Amazing moment. Magical moment. But still, they were up against the brink of elimination. Move forward. You move forward to the Phillies series. Like, they were going toe-and-toe again. Like, you talk about division rivals all the time. They were going, not once, not friggin' once, did you feel comfortable in that series. Not once.
Against
not
the Phillies?
Once. Against the Phillies.
They,
not once do you feel comfortable.
Them, didn't they trash them in the first game? Like, the Phillies couldn't score. I don't think the Phillies scored more than 2 runs the whole season.
7-6, game 2.
Oh, finally.
Touched up Edwin Diaz. So, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. So, your vaunted, formidable Phillies, right? The Mets had to fight through them, too. It wasn't a cakewalk. Nothing they did was a cakewalk in the last month. They were the hottest team from Memorial Day to the end of the season. But that last month was an absolute slog. You lose McNeil. Guys start running up against their innings limits. The bats start to go cold a little bit. They heat up in the 7th inning again. Once they get Schwellenbach out of the game. They touch up Devin Williams. They touch up the Phillies. But this was not a dominant run. You can't say it was a dominant run because it wasn't. If you say that, you're lying. I will tell you that straight to your face. You're lying. So you went up against a team that is formidable. You could have stood toe to toe. You could have absolutely stood toe to toe with the Dodgers. On paper, it matched up very well. And then you play the game, and that's why you play the game. Congratulations to the Dodgers. You guys won. You won. The Mets lost. Now, how do the Mets get better? I don't necessarily think that Pete is going to get the money he's looking for. Because they're going to see a 31-year-old. He's going to be a 31-year-old. A 31-year-old first baseman who's an okay hitter, an okay fielder. And he's a Boris client. Last year, they went up till right about JD Martinez signed 5 days before the season started. Now, I predict that there's going to be an overcorrection and he'll sign like the first day of fucking winter meetings. Like, just to say, oh, we're not doing that this year. Is he going to fit with the Cubs? Is he going to fit with the Rangers? Is he going to fit with wherever he goes? The Marlins, the Rays, wherever the hell Pete ends up. Seattle. I don't think so. His best fit is here. But because he's on the other side of 30, you have to think about years and money. If he's willing to take an opt-out, like a middle-term contract, he wants 10 years, goodbye. Vaya con Dios.
Nah, I don't think he'll get 10 years. I don't think he's looking for 10 years.
No. But these are the lengths of contracts you're looking
for. He plays and he doesn't get hurt.
He plays, he doesn't get hurt. But he's got warts and he's got holes in his game. He's got warts. He's got absolute warts. Just like everybody else. But I'm not willing to go beyond a certain number for Pete. He's not a break the bank guy like Soto. He's not a blank check guy like Soto. And Soto's not realistic for the Mets either. Because I see that face you're making. Because you're going toe-to-toe. Steve Cohen is going toe-to-toe with the New York Yankees. And guess who is having a great year with the New York Yankees? Juan Soto. Is he going to want to leave? Possibly. Is he going to go whoever pays him more? But you think there's going to be a bidding war here? There's absolutely going to be a fucking bidding war here. Oh, there's absolutely going to be a bidding war. And you know what? You know who else will probably throw some money in, throw their hat in the ring? The Dodgers. Because guess what they have? Money. They've got money. Got fucking money to burn.
They like to use that whole deferred
contract. They like to Bobby Bonilla this thing. No. If they can Bobby Bonilla Juan Soto, congratulations.
Steve won't be denied.
It's over.
Steve won't be denied. He doesn't care about a luxury tax. He doesn't care. He's going to get his guy.
See if he's going to get his guy. Because guess what? There's a 30% of the roster is leaving. 30% of the roster. Now, some of those guys, because you wouldn't list them, I'm going to list them. Harrison Bader, goodbye. JD Martinez, goodbye. Jose Quintana, for the right price. Severino, for the right price. Winker, you keep. Stanek, you keep. Iglesias, you keep. He's a backup infielder. You need guys like him. He has a very good glove. You keep a guy like him. He doesn't strike out a lot. Outside of what he did in the playoffs, that was very high for him. He's normally not a strikeout guy. He's a bat-to-ball guy. You keep him. Pete, question mark. I'd like to keep him, but I have a certain number. If it goes higher than what I'm willing to spend, gotta let him go. You gotta let him go. Because you have Ronnie Mauricio coming back. We'll see what he is. Give the kid a shot. You gave Vientos a shot.
Move Vientos to first base.
You can move Vientos to first base. He's a good third baseman, though.
They got a third baseman.
No, they don't.
It's the kid in the minors.
Mark Vientos.
No. There's another kid
Brett in the Beatty minors. Brett Beatty is not the guy.
It's not Brett Beatty. It's another guy. There's another guy in the minors. Spanish guy. Can't remember his name right now.
Luis Angel Acuña? He's here.
No. But that guy needs to play more. He didn't play enough.
He didn't play at all. He was a pinch runner. So McNeil is available. Marte is probably available. Possibly. You open up a hole for Acuña there. You suddenly got really young in a hurry. So,
well,
again, if it's the right price, you keep Pete. That's the only way I'm going for it. And I see rumors of Alex Bregman to the No.
Might be a Yankee, but
Alex Bregman, I don't see Alex Bregman as a fit for either team. He doesn't do it for me. Especially at his age, his wear and tear, it bothers me. So I understand the link. I understand the need. I don't see it for either team, specifically the Mets. I don't see it. Yankees more likely.
They need a third baseman. Jazzy is not going to.
Well, you move. It becomes an issue.
I'm surprised more teams haven't taken advantage of that. It's very strange to me, but
well, the Dodgers aren't because the Dodgers. What are they going to do? They get a bunt all of a sudden. Yeah,
they should keep smoking the ball. Tommy Edman bunts.
Tommy Edman didn't need to bunt. Tommy Edman was fucking Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, he killed me in fantasy.
He was goddamn Duke Snyder.
But this now sets up a classic World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers. Two franchises with deep baseball history, star athletes, and fans. However, the series has brought back discussions on how baseball should move to a salary cap. The championship series featured three teams that were top six in payroll, and the World Series features the same. Should baseball move to a salary cap?
Not necessarily a salary cap. There should be a salary floor. There should be a salary minimum. Absolutely, because these cheap motherfuckers like John Fisher, like Paul Ladd, who's now trying to sell the team. You gut your friggin' team, and then you expect the fans to come? Are you out of your mind? There's a reason why. There's a reason why the A's are now going to Sacramento. There is a reason why that you can't draw dick in Tampa Bay. You keep gutting the team. Why are fans willing to come? Tampa Bay had a really down year this year. And it doesn't look like they're going to be rebounding from that anytime soon. The Marlins, they're perpetually selling off players that fans might like.
Huh.
Where does that money go? It goes right into the goddamn pockets of their cheap-ass owners. I would like to throw the Guardians in there, too. Because their owner, Mr. Dolan, I believe is worth $7 billion. His team gets luxury. They get fucking revenue sharing. Your owner's a billionaire. And you get revenue sharing. It's absolutely ridiculous. Spend the money, get competitive. But that's on the owners. That's on Rob Manfred. That has to be legislated in.
Yeah, so for me, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, I was all for it. Because I didn't like how the Yankees would outspend everybody and just go buy players and just take them from the best teams. But now everybody spends money. Yeah, everybody does. The Angels spend money. Dodgers spend money. Yankees spend money. Mets spend money. Braves spend money. Braves spend a lot of money. They're number seven, I think. So, and now with the new playoff format, all you gotta do is get in. And you could clip one of these teams in three games. So I don't think it needs a salary cap. I don't care what you do. Run your team however you want to run your team. The new rules allow shit teams to get in and get far. So whatever. You can get an injury bug like the Braves. And it's a lost season. I mean, Braves are number six or number seven in payroll. Lost five guys. You can't compete. And you go on runs. You get your guys signed up. And you do your best you can while they're under contract. I'm fine with the way it is set up right now. I'm not upset with it. All it is like you're just getting a different brand of baseball. The Phillies figured that out a couple years ago. They're like, fuck the pitching. Just get hitting. Let Kyle Schwarber lead off. We'll just try to outscore everybody. The Dodgers are doing that this year. There's the series with the Mets. There was no fucking pitching. They scored 46 runs. The Mets scored 26 runs. Walker Buehler has been atrocious all year. All of a sudden, he figured out how to pitch. Jack Flaherty was awful all season. He pitched a great game one, and then he got shelled in game five.
Jack Flaherty had a 2-point-something ERA before he got to the goddamn Dodgers. What are you talking about?
No, he was trash, though. He wasn't any good. He had that ERA with the White Sox?
The Tigers. The Tigers who were in contention and actually made the playoffs.
And the Tigers got rid of him and still got there. I'm talking about Jack Flaherty, like with the Cardinals.
When he was with the Orioles. You're talking about when he was with the Orioles last year and they friggin' sent him out to pasture.
Yeah. And the real Jack Flaherty shows up. He showed up against the Mets when he couldn't get out of the second inning?
Second inning, yeah.
It's what it is now. They don't even pitch that long. Garrett Cole, the Yankees' best pitcher, is commanded for pitching four and a third inning. Dodgers go to a bullpen game. Straight up tell other teams, yeah, we're going to bullpen game two. Just so you know. What is that? How do you get away with that? that only works because they can put up 10 runs a game, 12 runs a game.
It's all, well, that, it's, no, it they're doing that because Glasnow's gone. They didn't hit on Bobby Miller. Gavin Stone is hurt. Their entire rotation is down. Kershaw's down. So they tried to build it with pitching. They tried to. Everybody got hurt.
They got to the World Series without Tyler Glasnow, a good Walker Buehler, and Kershaw. What does that tell you?
It tells me
you can build a team in many ways.
But sustainable team. You're looking trying to build a sustainable team. This is going to crater in on the Dodgers. Maybe not now. Maybe not in 5 years. But it is going to crater on them.
It'll crater when Ohtani leaves. That's in 10 years. They got plenty of time. They're probably going to pick up another fucking five-star player this summer. I mean, this winter. Watch.
Like who?
You mentioned it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did get Freed. I know they're going to try to get Soto. Who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, but you know what? Eventually, the owners do get tired of spending money. They throw money after money after money after money. And what do they have to show for it?
I don't know. Did George Steinbrenner get tired of spending money? He loves spending money.
Look at his son. That organization stopped when he died.
Yeah. No. They play it. The Yankees play it like a business now. That's why they're not going to get Soto. Because they're not going to want to go over the luxury tax. And they're not going to pay him. The Mets will. Because your guy likes to spend. Which is great. It's good for him.
The Yankees will spend. The Yankees spend selectively. The Yankees will spend selectively.
It's not the old Yankees.
It's not right. It's Yankees. Not George Steinbrenner writing checks to, you know, anybody who has a nice baseball card.
Yeah.
Right? And you want to talk about, like, savvy trades. Like, Stanton is finally working out. Finally, he's working out.
Jeter better get a ring if they win.
Considering the fact that Chisholm and Stanton are here, I would think he is. I would think he would.
I would think he would. He made the trade for Stanton. He didn't make the Chisholm one, but he made the trade for... He destroyed that Marlins team. That Marlins team was fucking stacked.
He made the trade for Chisholm. Chisholm was not a draft pick of the Marlins. He acquired him. And he even said, like Derek Jeter and Chisholm is on record saying that they're inexorably tied to the hip. So eventually Jazz Chisholm was going to be a Yankee. It's a question of when.
He better get a ring for that Stanton trade.
Oh, it's absolutely. He gave up the Starling Castro. Like, there you go. Like, that was it. And a bunch of nobodies for Starling's Stanton.
Like, who did I get traded for? Where
I didn't I sell. Going? I didn't sell Parkman outright. I got you an outfield.
Franklin.
Not that. Not those Giants.
Yo, shock.
But the teams that were top six in payroll, it's not sustainable. And it's never going to be that sustainable. At some point, you do kind of have to take your foot off the gas in terms of spending. Because essentially, eventually, you kind of want to make money. Like and that's kind of where the Yankees are right now. They would like to make some money. The Yankees are a loss leader. The Yankees were a loss leader for the Steinbrenner family. Because of all the money they spent and all the shit that George Steinbrenner put them through and the construction of the new Yankee Stadium and the construction of then Legends Field. Like, he built something. He built an empire. He built an empire. And eventually, you kind of want to make money. You kind of want a return on your investment.
You don't think the Yankees make money?
Not as much as they could. Not as much as they could have.
I think the YES Network makes plenty of money for them. How many baseball teams have their own network?
Let's see. You got SNY, Masson Shares. You have Nesson with the Red Sox. You have plenty of...
I don't think the Royals have that.
Well, the Bally Sports thing fell completely apart because of the network deal negotiated by Mr. Manfred. Now it's... I think they're trying to get, you know, regional sports back together. I think they're trying to Humpty Dumpty that. So that's a big time problem. Another one to lay at the feet of Rob Manfred, the death of regional sports.
As Billy Bean said, it's an unfair game, gentlemen. And that's the truth of it. And you got to find ways to win. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, but you know what?
I've seen the Tampa Bay Rays team spend a quarter of the money the Yankees make and beat the Yankees' asses plenty of times.
There's also a team in Major League Baseball that has $0 committed to its Major League roster.
For Oakland?
I believe so. They have $0 committed to the Major League roster.
Love it.
The Colorado Rockies are actively trying to lower payroll, so expect Chris Bryant to be available.
He still plays?
In theory. But well, to make these markets competitive, you have to force the owners to spend money. You have to force them to try and better their team. It has to happen, because if they're going to just be there and they're just going to take those revenue sharing dollars and stick them in their fucking pockets, you're going to be playing in front of a bunch of empty seats. And there goes your friggin' money. There it goes, right there. You can take your revenue sharing and stick it.
Hey there, NFL football fans. This is the lovely Rita Sanchez, a.k.a. your Option Football champ for the 2023 NFL season. I'm inviting you to join us for the 2024 Option, where we pick the winning teams for each week's matchups and compete against each other to see whose picks reign supreme. Are you in? Head over to CBS Sports and search for the Option 2024 League, or hit the link in the bio on the Fade Route socials and join today. It's for free. Pick a witty name, some winning teams, and I'll see you out there for week one.
There weren't a lot of empty seats in Pittsburgh over the weekend, but while the New York Jets, or the New York Paper Planes, or COVID, as we like to call them, oof, got blowed out by Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football 37-15. After the game, Rodgers said the team was flat before the game and during the game, despite the fact that the team was playing on national television. They had three speakers come in to speak to the team on Sunday, and they still came out flat. So whose job is it to get the team going if they can't get up for Sunday Night Football and they can't get up for people coming to speak to the team and hype them up?
I thought Robert Saleh was still coaching when you had three motivational speakers come. Was there a magician too?
What the fuck do you need to get motivational speakers for a Sunday night game in Pittsburgh? Are you kidding me? Like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
I don't understand it. I absolutely don't understand it. But
whose idea is this? Who hired this crew?
Woody. Oh, I'm sorry. Ambassador Johnson, because he doesn't want to be called Woody anymore. The fish rots from the head. And Woody Johnson is a terrible fucking owner. He's terrible.
So, okay.
He enables this. He enables all the clown show. He is the constant. Everybody else circles and cycles out of that goddamn building in Florham Park. Who stays? Yeah. Him. Yeah. Outside of his tenure in England. But he's the constant. Woody is the constant.
I don't know, Z. I mean, I give the man credit for paying people and for going for it, because that's what he's doing, right? That's what this all was about. He was going for it. He went and got Rodgers. He went and got all the guys that Rodgers wanted. He hasn't said no to anything anybody's said or done. So I don't know if this really all falls on him. I think people on the team need to be more accountable, no Z? Like Aaron Rodgers, dude, you have 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. That ratio's got to get better. We didn't bring you here for that shit. Breece Hall actually looked good this weekend for the first time in a long time. Quinnen Williams, dude, if you're not double-teamed, you've got to be in the backfield every fucking play. Go watch some video of J.J. Watt. That should be you. That's how you're getting paid. You got a big C on your chest. Go fucking act like it. Why the fuck is Sherwood calling the defensive play calls? Where is Mobley? We're paying you, motherfucker, to
Mosley's
be here
hurt.
And be the
CJ Mosley's hurt.
CJ Mosley's hurt. He's not playing.
I don't think he was playing.
I thought he was playing. Well, why is Sherwood?
He had three tackles. He came back. He has three. He had three tackles on Sunday.
Yeah, he should be calling the plays. That's what we're paying you for. Hey, CJ Mosley, go look at the video of you playing in Baltimore. That's the guy that's supposed to fucking be here. You are a game wrecker in Baltimore. That's what they're looking for here. It comes to accountability, Z. I don't think it's on the owner, because I think Woody's done everything that they've asked him to do. They've done everything. Give got Rodgers, got the players he wanted. This is what you guys wanted. Here, I give you everything. Do what you got to do. He's not being like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is not going for it. Woody's actually going for it here. He's put more attention in this year than I've ever seen him put attention. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. You gave up 31 unanswered points to the Pittsburgh Steelers who were fucking starting Russell Wilson for the first time all year. Dude hasn't played all year. How is this possible? I don't know. I don't know what I'm watching. What is Devontae Adams doing here? What the fuck was the point of bringing him here?
All of this that you are saying falls on the owner because ultimately he signed off on it. And here is part of the problem. The organizational instability and shit show that
you
the Jets...
You don't put on Joe Douglas? Joe Douglas put this team together. You don't put it on him?
He shares the blame. But who hired Joe Douglas? Woody. Who hired Mike Maccagnan? Woody. Who hired John Idzik? Woody. Who hired fucking Bill Parcells? Who hired Rex Ryan? Woody. All of this Parcells falls on him. Parcells was good. That was the last time that you had relative stability. You had a little bit of Rex. You had a little bit of Rex, yeah, and you had Parcells. Okay. And then you had a hell of a lot of crap in between.
Herm was good.
Herm was decent.
Mangini drafted Mangold, Tuberkashaw Ferguson. That was a good line.
Yeah, good line. That's fine. A good line. What about the rest of the team? Okay. So they have their moments. They have their moments. But it inevitably ends in a shit show. It inevitably ends in a shit show.
I don't know when is it going to come time when they realize that Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. He can't play at the level of Peyton Manning. And he can't play at the level of Tom Brady. Like, let's run the football. Run the football. I don't care if you got to run it 20 to 25 times a game. I don't care if the other team knows it's fucking coming.
Aaron Rodgers' ego will never allow that. And you know it. You know it.
Because what needs to happen is like, hey, guys, this is the deal. We're running the ball on every play. If we get positive yards, we're running it again. And if it's long as it's third and under five and under, we're running it on third down. Because he can't throw. He can't do anything. It's hard to watch. That's why they're good in the first half. Because by the second half, he's ready to go to bed.
you look relatively good in the first half because Russell Wilson was, what, 2 for 6 for 2 for 8 for 19 yards?
He was
atrocious in the first half. And then Russ from Seattle showed up.
Well, Russ from the first 4 years in Seattle.
Russ from the first 4 years. Yeah, Russ from Seattle. Not
I
Russ from Denver.
I don't know what Devontae is like going from one 2-5 team to another 2-5 team. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, he's lost to... He has a two-game losing streak in consecutive weeks against the Steelers. So, is there any way he can go to the...
We prepared for Devontae last week. We prepared for him this week. We know what we got with him.
We're good. Now, is it possible that he can get moved to the Giants and then they could play him again for a third consecutive week? So can we make that happen? Can we just trade Devontae Adams to whoever the Steelers are playing and then just make that happen?
I don't know. I don't really know what's going on there. That they can't get up for a Sunday night football game that they should have won. They were favored. They were favored on the road in Pittsburgh to win.
That's ridiculous. The Pittsburgh Steelers were 4-2. At one point, they had the number one defense in the league. Why? Because Russ was starting? Is that why they put the... That's why they made the Jets the favor? Because Russ was starting? Like, come on now. Like, I know it was bad in Denver, but it wasn't that bad.
The left tackle, I think his name is Tyron Smith.
Tyron Smith, yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
He's been protecting Dak for years.
Turnstile. Like, if you go on Twitter and you go on Instagram... There are plays where he completely whiffs on a guy. The guy is right in front of him, and he completely whiffs on him.
Yeah.
It doesn't even come close to touching him. How is that possible? Were you blind?
Well, it was Mekhi Becton, too. So it doesn't matter. Like, they replaced Mekhi Becton with this guy. Mekhi Becton.
All I'm going to say is that if the plan all year or all along was to get Devontae Adams, then why did you fire Robert Saleh?
That wasn't the plan. That there's no way in hell.
It wasn't the plan to get Devontae Adams.
There's no way in hell.
I think
there is no plan. There is no plan.
I think they should be sick to their stomachs to watch like Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, laughing and joking it up with Devontae Adams coming in the building and being in the room and living with him and all that shit.
Yeah.
It's like, there's nothing to laugh about. You're 2-5.
But there is something to laugh about.
3 out of the next 2 games, the season's over. And they have a cupcake schedule. They're playing New England this week.
They should win that one.
God, they should win that one.
They should.
They're playing a Texans team that they beat last year with Zach Wilson. So, should win that game, right? The Texans just look awful. The Texans are all banged up. All their receivers are hurt. Could win that game. You play a Dolphins team that is just getting Tua back. We're going to talk about him. These are winnable games.
Not when they're playing like this. Not when there's no stability. Not when there's nobody running the show. Like, you need somebody to step in and take control. Woody gave up all control to Aaron Rodgers. So and it's Aaron, evident. You think Aaron Rodgers runs this show. And this is exactly what Woody Johnson signed off on. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about Woody's the problem. He gave him the keys. He said, we'll bring in Hackett. We'll bring in Lazard. We'll bring in Devontae Adams. We brought in, they had Randall Cobb. They did. Like, if Donald Driver could play, he probably would be suiting up. This is an abdication.
Wow.
This is a complete and total abdication by one Robert Wood Johnson.
And then you're gonna be as bad as the Browns. You're gonna be bad for the next 5 years. Now, I don't even know what you do next year. Does he come back next year? You run it back?
Here's the secret. Here's the dirty little secret. I think he knows he's done and he's waiting for the end of the year. I don't think he's coming back. I think he's gonna fuck them. I really think he's gonna fuck the Jets. He's like, thanks for the memories, but I'm gonna go do my ayahuasca and co-host the Pat McAfee show. Like that's where I'm gonna do. I think he's gonna leave him high and dry, holding the fucking bag, and it's the same old Jets. We have to rebuild from fucking scratch. And that fault, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And Woody Johnson is in a fucking, he's in a time loop.
That's going to be a very bad and a very long rebuild.
Yeah. It's almost Giants level bad.
Because, I mean, they got rid of all their picks. And you're going to lose your good players.
Yeah. Well, you've already lost Garrett Wilson mentally. You've already lost Garrett Wilson.
I'm out of here. I'm out of here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But from the people who are out of here to the people who are back, quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa, will be returning to practice this week and plans to play on Sunday. The quarterback has missed the last 4 games after suffering his 3rd concussion that we know of in the past 2 years. Tua said he loves the game to death and will not wear a guardian cap when he returns for personal reasons. Should the NFL force him to wear a guardian cap, and should he return on Sunday?
I think they should. I think it's incredibly dangerous to not, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to at least give it a shot. You're struggling right now, man. Like, I get aesthetically it might not look appealing, but dude, you're talking about, I heard his press conference and it's kind of alarming to me the way he talked. He's like, I love this game to death and I'm gonna come back, you know. It's like, you just don't get it. You don't get it. You don't really understand what you're putting at risk, you know. I think a guardian cap looks a lot better than you sitting in a wheelchair drooling, dude. Like, you don't understand, the mind and the head is just not something to be played with. And the other part is like, I think I told you, I don't want to see him fight. I don't want to see him out there.
No.
I don't want to see somebody take him down and him to be stuck like that or get hurt again.
No.
I'm curious. I mean, listen, they haven't, he said he hasn't been actually cleared. Like, they haven't gone through the clearance yet. But I want to see who's going to sign off on this. Who's putting their name on that? Because I just think it's incredibly dangerous.
It is incredibly dangerous, and it's incredibly short-sighted. And if Mike McDaniel was a leader, he would say, no. Absolutely not. Your health comes first. Tua is on record saying his mother is against him playing football. His own mother doesn't want him to play the game that he loves because she fears for his life. That's fucking scary, dude. I mean, I know you're close to your mom. I'm close to my mom. Like, my mom gives me some advice. I'm taking pause. Especially if it's coming out of that place of I'm concerned for your health and your life. Right. Yeah, I'm definitely pausing at that moment. And you know what? If we really want to talk about it, let's talk. We'll talk about it from the football aspect. What team? What are you coming back to? Let's be real here. They're 2-4. Like, it's not like they're on the cusp of the playoffs and you're just going to take them over the top. Your health matters more. That's it and that's all. I understand you want to be a leader. You want to be an inspiration. You want to help your teammates. I get that. I understand it's sports. But at some point, real life needs to intersect. And you figure we would have learned some of this shit when DeMar Hamlin dropped on the when he dropped on the field. You would have figured we would have learned some perspective. But apparently not. Apparently, perspective is still a foreign concept. If it's possible, if at all possible, the NFL should mandate that he wears a guardian cap. Now, yeah. I don't know like how many concussions, you know, like that's got to be legislated. I'm sure that the players' union would want to get involved. Like, how after how many concussions is it mandatory that you wear a guardian cap at all times? Like, that's something that's another story for another day. And that's something that needs to happen in the boardroom. But to save this guy from himself, the league needs to mandate it or the team needs to mandate it. And if he's not willing, then you bench him. Some people need to be saved from themselves. And I get the passion. I respect the passion. I respect the hell out of him wanting to play.
Yeah, sure.
I respect that completely. But I don't want to see him die on the field.
Right.
I don't want to see him end up in a wheelchair before he turns 30. Like, I'm with you on that.
Go down and not get back up. It's scary looking, man.
Yeah.
The fencer's position, you know?
Yeah. It's like how many times do you guys see it?
He either doesn't get it or he doesn't want to get it.
This is not a lesson you learn the hard way.
Right, right.
Like, come on. At some point, somebody needs to step in here and let him know what's up. Somebody's got to be able to talk some sense into him if this is really truly how he feels. And that's the adults in the room. That's McDaniel. That's his agent. At some point, you know, put your commission aside and...
Like you said, his mom said, I've got to imagine that there are other people.
Yeah.
They're telling him, dude, it's over, man. It's over. Like... It's not like these hits are bad hits. What happens when it is a bad hit?
Right.
I mean, you're literally going to have players probably trying to take it easy on him too.
Right.
And that's not football. It's not football.
No. And we saw this with Troy Aikman. We saw this with Steve Young. We've seen this a bunch of times. Yeah. Like, once you get that glass jaw, that proverbial glass jaw, it gets easier and easier.
I actually would be more comfortable with him if he didn't play the rest of the season and tried to come back next year.
I agree.
I'd feel more comfortable with that than saying, oh, I've sat out a month and I'm ready to come back. My man.
No.
My man.
Nah, man. That doesn't work. That doesn't work at all. I mean, His brain is bruised. His brain is scrambled and addled. And no, absolutely not. You need to take as much time to rest and recover as you can. Yeah. Before...
I remember it happened to Sidney Crosby, remember?
Yeah. Post-concussion syndrome. He was out for a while.
He was out for a while. I remember he sat. He didn't come back. Well, and he's just been pretty good. He's been pretty good since then.
Just last year, Philip Hedl, post-concussion syndrome. We saw it with Pat LaFontaine. I'm glad you mentioned ice hockey. Pat LaFontaine struggled with post-concussion syndrome. Light sensitivity, headaches, the whole thing. Eventually, Pat LaFontaine returned to the ice. But it took him a while, and it took advances in helmet technology to make that possible. Now, it's risky. It's risky. Is the reward worth the risk? He seems to think so. I don't know if everybody else agrees.
Yeah. It's a dangerous game. It's not for everyone.
Need some last minute fantasy football advice? Then the boys at the Fade Route have you covered. Check out Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. D and I give you our top 1-2-3 fantasy starts or green lights, and our top 1-2-3 fantasy sits or red lights. That's Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z every NFL Sunday, noon Eastern, during the regular season. That's Red Light, Green Light 1-2-3 with D and Z.
But what is for everyone is basketball. The NBA season kicks off tonight with the Knicks and Celtics and the Lakers and the Timberwolves. Z, which teams will make it to the conference finals, and which two do you have making the NBA finals?
Well, despite the result tonight, where it's 130-98 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, I think this is a rematch of the conference final. I think the opening night matchup is going to be there for the conference finals. The Celtics, they won a thing we like to call the whole fucking thing. They finally ascended to where they were supposed to be. And the Knicks are coming. I told you 2 years ago that the Knicks were coming. And we'll see what happens with Karl Anthony Towns. It's a big move. They brought in Mikal Bridges. Big move. They're going to need time to gel. They ran into the Celtics on ring night, on banner night. Ain't no way the Celtics were letting the Knicks come in here and win that game. You're right. No, you said that in the production meeting. You were 100% right. Ain't nobody denying the Celtics tonight. No. Project down the road, these teams could be in very different positions, right? Now, we had Porzingis got hurt last year. Who's to say he doesn't continue that trend? Who's to say that Tatum and Brown don't have like little bumps and bruises and can be had? The Knicks gel, maybe they ascend, maybe the Celtics slip back and they swap places. Who's to say? But I like them in the Eastern Conference Finals. It's hard to pick against the Celtics, but I would say if it is Celtics-Knicks, it's going seven. It's absolutely going seven. They're very well matched against each other, and I think the Knicks play a very good brand of basketball, and I think that Karl Anthony Towns is gonna do some things for them. The Western Conference is far more intriguing, like it always is. You have the Thunder, you have the Nuggets, you have, like, if the Grizzlies have Ja Morant with his head on straight, you got the Warriors. They're not what they used to be. Could they kind of stay in the play-in and make a run? The Timberwolves, you know, you lose Cat. What are you going to become now that you got Dante DiVincenzo and Julius Randle? Can the Rockets ascend? And then, the team that was representing the Western Conference in the finals last year, the Dallas Mavericks. Another year under their belt, another year for Kyrie and Luka to gel. If you're asking me who's in the conference finals next year, I gotta think that the Nuggets are back in. I think that, well, it all depends on the health of Jamal Murray. Like, you're going to need Murray in addition to Jokic. You're going to need both of them. As far as the team that's going to meet them there, this is tough because it is so deep. I didn't even mention the Suns. Because you have a deep, deep team. Deep, deep conference. I think the Thunder learned from last year, and it's Thunder Nuggets in the conference finals. I like the Nuggets to represent the Western Conference. fuck it. I'll just go Nuggets Knicks. That'll be. But if it's going to be. If it was Celtics Nuggets, I wouldn't be surprised. Wow. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. Okay. I've got the Grizzlies and the Thunder in the West. And then in the East, I've got the Celtics and I've got the Bucks. I've got the Celtics going back to face the Thunder. And then I got the Thunder winning. I think the Thunder are ready. They're young. They're talented. They're hungry. That's the way I see it. The Knicks, it's hard because Cat didn't win in Minnesota. So I don't see how he's going to come and win here. I think they underestimated giving up DiVincenzo. Mikal Bridges is good, but he's not the defender that DiVincenzo was. I think Josh Hart comes down to earth. He's a good player. Is he a starting two guard in the NBA? I don't know about that. He's not a shooter. He's a shooter. Who's the shooter? Payne? I don't really know. I think they're going to miss Hardenstein. And for the 76ers, I think it's just going to be an injury thing. And I think it's going to be one of those things where, George is hurt. Then Joel Embiid is hurt.
But you're not concerned at all about Giannis and the fact that he's constantly having back problems now?
I think they're going to win enough games where there'll be a problem in the playoffs because of their length and their height. I do have concerns there because it is early. But at the same time, I think the 76ers are going to have the same injury problems.
They already have it. Playoff P and Joel, Mr. Embiid, they're both out.
I was tempted to say the Cavaliers. I just don't think that they could go seven games with a good team. And that's the problem in the NBA. It's like you're gonna have to win a seven game series. Like they've beaten Boston in a seven game series. Could they beat a five game series? Maybe. They don't have that in the NBA, so I don't know. I don't buy into any other teams. I don't buy into the Pacers. I think the Miami Heat are good. But they're good when Jimmy wants to be good. And he doesn't always want to be good. He understands that he can get in as an 8 seed, so he doesn't need to be a 1 or 2 or a 3. And sometimes you just can't turn on when it comes to playoff time. So
let's not kid ourselves here. If they bottom out and suddenly the Miami Heat aren't as good as people think they are, they could break that team up.
Oh, Pat has no problem with that. I think he's ready to move on from Jimmy now. I think he's tired of Jimmy.
And then you get your shooter if you're the Knicks. You go get fucking Jimmy. You have a little reunion.
I don't know if Pat would do that, though. I mean, he'd just make the Knicks give up a lot.
Yeah.
He'd hurt. He'd stick
yeah. He'd make it hurt for years. But this is a win-now move. And the Knicks might be willing to do that.
They have the capital. They sure as hell could. And he would be a good Nick.
He would be a great Nick. Really, I wanted him before he went to the Heat. I've been enamored with Jimmy Butler's game for years.
He'd be a damn good Nick.
And he already played for Tibbs, so he knows what to expect. Mm-hmm. Karl Anthony Towns played for Tibbs, so he already knows what to expect. To be run into the fucking ground.
Yeah. And then moving over to the WNBA. The New York Liberty beat the Minnesota Lynx in a back-and-forth Game 5 to capture their first ever WNBA championship. Starting next year, though, the WNBA Finals will be moving to a 7-game format. Is that the right move for the WNBA?
I suppose if they want to do that, they're more power to you. But I don't know if you get the drama. Because these were just hotly contested, close matchups. You had multiple games going to overtime.
Yeah.
You had
too, because I thought the Liberty were a far better team.
Yeah. Well, really, I mean, the Lynx are talented. The Lynx are absolutely talented, but you don't expect them to be on that level with a supposed super team. And I was, I was concerned with. After the Liberty beat the Aces, would they have anything left after dispatching the Aces? Clearly they did. Clearly they did. You know, this was close. The largest margin of victory was 14 points. So I don't know if you necessarily, I don't know if you're going to get the intensity because of the lack of urgency. You know, you have to win that extra game. You have more opportunity. I don't know necessarily if you're going to get the same ferocity of play because you have a little bit longer of a series. I don't know about that. I just leave it alone. Like, why do we need to constantly kind of tool around with the playoffs? Why, like, we've complained about it with the NFL. We complained about it with the NBA. We complained about it with Major League Baseball. I think the only one that we don't complain about is the NHL.
Yeah, they have it right.
And even the MLS. Like, the MLS now has the 8-9 playoff game. Winner gets the number one seed. So right now, like, Atlanta and Montreal were playing for the right to get spanked by Messi in Miami. So, awesome. Congratulations. So why mess with a good thing? You have people's eyeballs. You have people's interest. The game is growing. People are interested. Don't fuck with it. Let it ride for a little while. And then if you really start to see this is becoming a problem, then extend it, then elongate it. You know, they used to be best 2 out of 3, if I remember correctly. Oh, really? Like, that's fucking crazy. You know, that's like saying, oh, one game. You know, could you imagine if it was, could you imagine if the NBA playoffs were like one and done?
I wish it was.
I mean, yeah. But, you know, that would be something. If everybody ran it like football, where you only play one game, the intensity would be through the fucking roof. But your playoffs would be over in, what, 2 weeks? 3 weeks? Which is great for guys like us. It's great for us.
I understand why she's trying to move to 7 games, because it's more money. Right, that's the reason. The answer to all things is money.
Is money.
But I don't think she's considering, and also all the stars that just came in, like the Caitlin Clarks and the Reese. You know, you're thinking, you know, I'll take 7 games of Caitlin Clark over 5 games of Caitlin Clark, right?
Yeah.
I think it's like what happens with the other leagues is you're gonna lose out on the value, right? The quality of basketball is going to go down.
Yeah.
Because you can get a series that's like 4-1, or you get it 4-0. You know, if you're asking, because, I mean, let's be real, like, you have really good teams in the WNBA, and then you have really, really bad teams, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get into situations where a Cinderella story happens, and then now they got to go 7 games with one of the best teams in the league. It's not happening. It's the same thing in the NBA. It's like we have that 1-8 in a 7-game series. Not really happening, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Dikembe Mutombo's not running through that door.
Right, right. So that's the only problem with moving to a 7-game series. And I think, you know, you have a niche when you have a 5-game series. Like, you know, this is who you are. You can hang your hat on that. You're going to have 5 games that are, you know, sold out. Now it's going to be spread out more, right? It's like, I don't really need to go to game one. I don't really need to go to game three. You know, you hold out. So I don't know. I'm not really big on it. I think they had a good product. I like the direction they were heading. But yeah, they're adding more teams too. It's just dilution.
That's also an issue. Like, adding the Toronto team, you're adding multiple teams. It's just, you're adding Portland. All you're doing is further diluting the product when you expand. You're absolutely right. Now, is this also going to eventually come with expanded playoffs? You hope not. You absolutely hope not. But that seems to be the way of sports these days. Expanded playoffs, long series, and just try and milk every single cent out of the paying guest. Like, let's talk about the World Series. Let's go back to that. Did you see the ticket prices for the World Series?
Yeah, I found the cheapest ticket I found was $1,400
at Yankee Stadium. The cheapest ticket at Dodger Stadium is $1,100 for Game One. That's insane.
I wonder if anybody within a mile of Yankee Stadium could afford to go to a World Series game.
A mile? 5 miles, dude. Like, it's in the heart of the South Bronx. No way. No way. No way. That's like half a month's rent. It's legit. In some markets, it's half a month's rent. You're going to go spend 3 hours, $1,100 for 3 hours. That's not including concessions. That's not including merchandise. Parking. That's not including parking if you're driving. That's not including transportation. Like, nah, dude. That's not sustainable. The WNBA has that family-friendly alternative thing going on. You could be, not only could you be the aspirational league for kids, boy or girl, right? It's good basketball. You can be the aspirational league, but you can also be the fan-friendly league. We're going to keep our prices low. Like, we're not going to screw you. We're not going to do that. It would be nice. It would be nice to not get screwed when going to a sports game. You know, like, one of the best deals I found was like the pinstripe pass. It's like $30. You don't get a seat. That's the downside of it. I get to stand for 3 hours at Yankee Stadium for the privilege of saying I go to the game. So the trade-offs you make. But just stick with the product that works. Just stick with it. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. This goes for all sports. Don't need to reinvent the wheel. Just put a good product out there and people will come. People will come, Ray. People will come.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutepodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutednz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today is Hudson Valley Renegades public address announcer, play-by-play announcer for Local Live and Robcasting Radio, and the host of the Doubleheader and Meet the Beatles on 1490 WGCH. Rob Adams, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. How's everything?
Doing great, Rob. Doing great. Well,
fantastic.
Well, that's
what we want to hear.
Fantastic. Well, we'll start you off with this. Your beloved Steelers, in somewhat surprising move, Coach Tomlin hooked Justin Fields despite a solid start to the season in favor of Russell Wilson, and it seemed to work in spades against the listless Jets Sunday night. What was your reaction to the move, and do you feel it's the best long-term solution for the Steelers?
You know, at first, I did not like the move whatsoever. I felt that you got to 4-2 with Justin Fields, and he was not making mistakes. He wasn't turning the ball over. He was running it well, and he was throwing it efficiently. But Russell Wilson gave them a spark. 16 of 29, 264 yards. He threw two touchdowns, and more importantly, George Pickens was happy. Five catches, 111 yards, and a touchdown. Plus Najee Harris running for 102 yards. That tells me there were good things going on with the Steelers in that game the other night against the Jets. So I'm pretty content, surprisingly, because I was not a big not big on bringing in Wilson to begin with, and then Justin Fields comes in a day later. But 5-2, and look, I'm not fooled. I still think the Ravens are far better, but right now I'm comfortable through seven games.
Yeah, I think Russell brings a new dynamic. There are throws that he can make that Justin Fields just isn't comfortable taking. And then he throws a really good moon ball. He allows people to get under the ball and receive it. And, you know, he was determined. There was a determination in Russell Wilson two nights ago. You could tell that, you know, he's frustrated with what happened in Denver, and he's out to prove something. Because I think in the first half was not the same Russell Wilson we saw in the second half, where it was starting to click and it was starting to really feel good.
I agree.
So at this point, the Steelers sit 5-2, second place in the black and blue AFC North. We know this is way too early, but if the season ended today, the Steelers would be the number 5 seed in the AFC playoffs. The trade deadline is November 5th. Are there any moves you would like to see them make to shore up their playoff hopes?
I would still like another receiver. You know, Brandon Ayuk, that fell apart. Davante Adams, that fell apart. But Cooper Kupp is apparently available from the Rams. They are calling teams about his contract, and the Rams are willing to eat some money. That matters. If he can be had at a reasonable price, and I know he has injury concerns, he's had them a few times, but the Steelers need that other weapon compared to Pickens. Pickens can be an all-world receiver, a top-flight number one receiver. He needs someone on the other side to take a little bit of the pressure off of him. And right now, for my money, that would be a Cooper Kupp type of guy. So I would like to see something like that. Otherwise, I don't have the highest of hopes thinking the Steeler team's going to make a run to a Super Bowl. I'm just not that naive. I think there are better teams in the AFC. The Chiefs keep doing it somehow at 6-0. Obviously, the Ravens are extremely good. Derrick Henry's like a different man in Baltimore right now. So I'm not foolish. But if you can make a good move to improve that team, because I love the defense, obviously. The offensive line, I wouldn't mind a little touch up there, but I'd want a receiver. That would be my call.
I love speaking to realistic fans. I love speaking to real edges. You could be honest. It's okay. You know, your team doesn't have it. They don't have it. It's all good.
So what you're looking at with Les Snead, though, he's looking for a two. Do you feel that's a little rich considering Kupp's history, injury history? Or would like a, if you were the GM of the Steelers, would a conditional three be a little bit more palatable than a two? Or because you, the Chiefs are in the market for him too.
I know.
Oh my God.
So are the Cowboys, apparently. I think a conditional three would be optimal. I'm not against giving up a two, but it's big. At that point, it's a big risk. A big risk. I'd rather a three, no question.
But moving over to a little thing we like to call the World Series, the Yankees and Dodgers will square off in the Fall Classic for the first time since 1981. Yankee and Dodger fans are happy. MLB front office is ecstatic. Yet there are plenty of disappointed fans bemoaning the economics of baseball. It's an unfair game. Is this World Series matchup baseball needed this season?
I think so. I think Yankees-Mets would have been great in a lot of ways, but it wouldn't have done the national numbers that the executives want. They would not have done the ratings. Yankees-Dodgers, 12th appearance overall going back to 1941. So you're talking 12 times in 83 years these two teams have met in the World Series. The
Wild.
History obviously is fantastic between Brooklyn and Los Angeles and then obviously the Bronx. I think it's the best matchup that could come out of these playoffs. I Mets Cleveland, two franchises that haven't won in forever. That would have had an appeal to it, no doubt about it. But I think Yankees Dodgers is the best way to go. I think it's a great matchup. I think these are two teams that will play and match up very well. But I think we're going to see some softball scores, honestly, because
yep.
I think you've got mega offense in the in these games. And the only thing I'll throw out about the salaries, and I get that's an issue. This is only, this would be only, well, no, the Yankees aren't number one in terms of salaries, but you know, there have only been two times in this century that the number one salaried team won the World Series. The Red Sox, I believe, in 18, and the Yankees in 2009. That's it. That's it. So the number one paying team has not always won, and that's a tale as old as time, going back to George Steinbrenner throwing Monopoly money around at players like Dave Collins and people like that back in the 80s. It didn't work.
Right.
And
right.
You've got, and one other thing, you've got 30 owners, and apparently 28 of them are billionaires. Hey, Bob Nutting in Pittsburgh, you know, the owner up in Minnesota. What other owners can we call out? Start, guy down in Tampa Bay, start spending money. Put the money, because you're getting revenue share, start putting the money back into your team. That's another thing to consider.
The only thing I'll say is that I think it's a different climate now. I think all teams spend now. You know, back in the day, I felt like it was the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Mets and the Dodgers. No. Everybody spends a decent amount of money now, and the new playoff format allows anybody to get there and anybody to win. So that definitely changes the game big time.
Everybody spends except John Fisher.
Yes. That's another owner I wanted to call out. Thank you for doing that.
With his itinerant Oakland A's. Yeah.
Yeah, or whatever they are.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. And then Tampa Bay, like they're trying to keep the Rays there. I know Milton kind of ripped up the stadium, but Oakland's got a ballpark there. Just throwing that out there. Not going to happen.
Yeah,
well, Tampa usually competes though, even with a low salary.
They do.
They've gotten there. They've gotten close a couple of times, so they must know what they're doing a little bit.
And the commissioner spoke over the last day or so, and he said they're going to do everything in their power to keep the Rays as close to Tampa as possible. So I don't think they're going to Oakland. They're not going to Montreal. I don't even think they're going to Miami. I think they're going to wind up somewhere in the radius of Tampa. And I hate to say it's going to be at a spring training site, but it might be, because I don't love that, because obviously Florida weather.
Right.
That's a big concern.
Though there's 100 baseball fields in Florida, I'm sure they could find, you know, one. They could, even if they had to use the University of Tampa field, it's suitable. It's fine. You'll get 4,000 people. That sounds like a Rays game anyway.
That's the thing, though.
Disney's Wide World of Sports.
Yeah. But you have an optimized field in Dunedin already, because that's where the Blue Jays were playing in COVID. So you do have that option. Now, the irony of ironies with that, if they end up at Steinbrenner Field, like that would be like, oh my God, that would be fantastic.
And I think it could happen. I do think that one could happen. Clearwater is a great option as well. But Tampa with, you know, the Yankees, that's the closest one to the Trop. That's the easy one to keep them near their fan base.
Dale Mabry Road.
You got
it. Dale Mabry. You got it.
100%. But Major League Baseball doesn't have the best track record marketing its stars, as we know. So it looks like the national media is doing it for them with Shohei Ohtani. However, it's incessant and borderline insulting and overdone. Do you have Ohtani fatigue, like a lot of people do?
Oh, no question. And I also have fatigue over the fact that it's clear to me and to a lot of people, there was more than just some guy that was running gambling and running money. I wonder how much Ohtani was involved, and that all got swept under the rug like it was no big deal. When you think about the history of baseball, you go back to 1919 with the Black Sox, and then obviously with Pete Rose. I know this would have been a huge black eye to have Shohei Ohtani somehow involved in gambling, but
Rob, can I ask you one question?
Yeah, go
actually,
ahead.
Just, you know, you bring up a very good point. Does this at all remind you of kind of the beginning of the steroid era, where reporters weren't talking about it? You know, steroids were illegal, and we could see how big these guys were getting, but nobody was really talking about it. It's kind of like buried. And then all of a sudden, everybody's like, wait a minute. He's got this in his locker. This guy's got over here, Mitchell Report. I feel like it was, like, suppressed because of how well baseball was doing. And then all of a sudden, when it was time, they all started singing and they all started talking about it. Can you see that happening here?
I definitely can see it happening. I think that's entirely possible. Look, Mark McGwire hits, I think, home runs 49 and 50 at Shea Stadium, and he's got bottles of Andro that are sticking out of the locker, his locker, and reporters are like, hey, what's that? Oh, no big deal. You know, just something I... No, it at the time, I remember saying, uh-oh, this is not good. And you can't help but think, like, you're kind of seeing the same thing with Ohtani, and gambling is more prevalent in sports than ever. Legalized gambling, I might add, but it's still illegal to gamble on baseball in a baseball locker room. Baseball right. players can't do it. That's
sign
still
is right there as soon as you go in.
Clear as a bell. Clear as a bell. I agree.
So, back to the stars of the show. Talking about Judge and Ohtani, it gets boring, it gets tiresome, right? Stars come and go in series, but the other guys on the roster truly win you these series. Like Tommy Edman, we just saw that. Giancarlo Stanton, we just saw that.
No question.
So who do you expect to step up and be that other guy in the World Series on both sides?
You know, for the Yankees, and I don't know why, I'm going to ride a hunch. Well, maybe I do know why. I covered Anthony Volpe at Hudson Valley, and I just feel like he had a very good championship series. I think he hit 348 or something like that in the ALCS, and I feel like we still have yet to see him at his best. We haven't seen the power come out, but he plays good defense. He's got all the pieces. So I feel like he's a guy riding underneath that I think is going to have a very good World Series. And this is not going to be a stretch, but I'll go Kike Hernandez for the Dodgers. He gets every big hit. And if I'm Aaron Boone, I pitch very carefully to him throughout these next four or seven games. I think Kike can be a big factor in this series.
I mean, it's kind of, at this point, it's expected for Kike. You know, playoff Kike is a thing.
Sure. Right?
It's an absolute thing at this point. It's amazing. And the Red Sox got him specifically for that and then flipped him back to the Dodgers because they couldn't use it anymore. But
sure,
we'll get you out of here on this one. It's prediction time. I think I know where you're going since I know where your allegiances lie. But who you got and who's your MVP of the World Series?
You know, as you said, I'm a pretty rational fan overall. And that being said, I had to make a prediction last night on another radio show that I do. And I feel like the Dodgers starting pitching still has holes in it because of all the injuries. The bullpens are pretty close to being equal, but I do love Luke Weaver. I think, and I know he gave up a moonshot to Mr. Christmas there, but you know, that the guy is pretty unflappable, and that's what you want in a closer. Just get the ball, get back out there. So I like the idea of him standing on the mound at Dodger Stadium in Game 6 and wrapping it up. I'm going Yankees in 6 because I don't want to deal with a Game 7, and I don't think the Yankees would do well in a Game 7. I think the pressure, not because they're playing at Dodger Stadium, but I think the pressure of that situation would be too much. I will take a shot as an MVP at a guy who pitched well once, didn't pitch well the other time, but he's your guy for a reason. And I'm going to go Garrett Cole because I think he's lined up to pitch game one. You figure game one, maybe game four, likely game five. And then if you need him out of the bullpen in a game six or seven, that's possible as well. It's a crazy idea. Because
would
I know
he definitely earn it. He would definitely earn
exactly,
it if he did that.
Exactly. And I know he's such a creature of habit that, you know, you don't like to mess with his routine. But I'll take the shot on Cole. There's a gut feeling there I have with him.
It's fair. I mean, he's your ace for a reason. That's why you paid him the big bucks, right? Like,
exactly.
That's why the Diamondbacks got Schilling, and that's why they got Johnson. That's why the Red Sox got Schilling. That's why they got Page. This is why you get the guys you get.
This is why he also pitched in the World Series before. He's got experience.
That's right. That's right. So he's my guess. I'm still waiting for Judge to break out, and I hope that happens too, obviously. And I think for baseball, you need to see these guys at their best. Willie Mays, actually, the MVP of the World Series is the Willie Mays Award, and Willie Mays was not a great postseason player. People forget that. But I hope Judge does
should
have
be
a great
the Yogi
postseason.
Bear Award.
That's I what agree. It should well, be. That's a great call. Should be.
It was,
should be the Yogi Bear
the
Award.
Man.
His godson wasn't. Sure. His godson sure. wasn't a big postseason player until 2002. So
that's true too.
Yeah. So
exactly right.
You ascend. We're going to see who's going to ascend to the throne here. But Rob Adams, Local Live, Rob Casting Radio, Hudson Valley Renegades, public address and announcer. You wear many hats, sir. So what do you got going on these days? Doubleheader, Meet the Beatles. That's a new one. That's a big one.
Yeah, Meet the Beatles. I'm having a lot of fun with that. An idea that I hatched about a year and a half ago and just said, let's get some music back on the radio station. I have at least a little bit of knowledge of them. So it's been fun. Been doing it for about 10 months now. Having a great time with that. Obviously, play-by-play is my first love, so I'll be back doing high school football this weekend. Greenwich and Trumbull at Trumbull High School. And then Brunswick School taking on Phillips Exeter Academy on Saturday. So that's always the first thing for me is any game I can get my hands on, any age, any group, don't care. I'll be there to call it.
Is there a favorite thing you like to call? You like to call home runs? You like to call third strikes? What do you like to call?
Well, baseball is definitely my favorite sport to call, and there is something majestic about a home run. But it's those high leverage moments that I love most of all. Regardless of what it is, walk off, big strikeout, whatever the situation, I enjoy those moments where I can bring people into the game, relay it to them, tell some stories along the way, and give them an accurate and exciting call.
And you just say what comes to you, right? Do you have anything like written down, or
I'm not a catchphrase guy. Okay. You know, God bless those guys who are Michael Kay, Gary Cohn, whatever. You know, those guys who have their canned calls. That's great. That's not my thing. I rather keep it a little straight. You know, a little straighter than that. And yeah, work off the cuff, just whatever comes to my mind in that moment and enjoy it. And prove nice. That it's, you know, let everyone hear that I'm passionate about it, because I think that matters.
No, completely. And it shows. You know, it definitely shows. Like, you wouldn't do what you do, you wouldn't go where you go if you weren't passionate about what you do, Rob. And appreciate you having on, coming on, brother. And if you want to join us on the in route, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, slide in our DMs on IG at Faderout Podcast, drop us a line on X at FaderoutDNZ. And Rob, where can they follow you?
Follow me. I'm on Twitter, X at DOUBLE5. I'm on Instagram as well, DBLE5. You can find me on most of the social media. You know, I'm on Facebook and everything else. And reach out, say hello. You know, I don't mind mixing it up. If we can keep it straight and be rational, I love having conversations, because often you guys teach me something in the process. I might be an older dog, but I'm willing to learn new tricks. So let's talk.
Absolutely. And we will talk again soon, brother.
All right, guys, thanks very much. This was great.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at thefadestorewithdnz.com. That's thefadestorewithdnz.com.
Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be the Dallas Cowboys. Huh. 46-9. Complete domination. That's domination, Holmes. And then Jerry Jones going on the radio making an ass out of himself. So it's very fitting. very fitting that he gets the coveted ass trophy this week. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers. The post-game, you blamed yourself and your shit play again. Seems to be a recurring theme in your post-game press conferences.
That's nice of him.
Next, you called out the team for being flat. You said they were flat at the team dinner. They were flat in the pregame, and they were flat in the game. Dude, just stop talking and do. Just do. I'm tired of hearing about how bad you played and how flat the team is. Same shit you talked about in Green Bay. Let's go. Be a leader. Aaron Rodgers, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, I've got the New York Mets. Best team in the second half of the season. Beat the beat-up Braves. Beat the cold Phillies. Beat the shitty Brewers to get to the NLCS, where they got stomped out by the Dodgers in six games. Outscored 46-26. Allowed Ohtani to bat over 360. Walked him nine times in six games. New York Mets, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. And number three, CJ Stroud. Once a prominent candidate for the MVP. Cost me my fantasy game last weekend and only threw for 86 yards in four quarters and no touchdowns against the Green Bay Packers. CJ Stroud, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
You can't argue with those choices. You cannot at all. I'm going to start with the social media teams for ESPN and Fox Sports. In this world of professional sports, why must you turn around and troll a team, and only this team? They didn't do it when the Yankees beat the Guardians. They didn't do this when the Guardians beat the Tigers. Look at all of it. At no point did this happen. Only at this moment. The Muhammad Ali over Sonny Liston, Ohtani over Grimace. And then you have the World Series chain with the oh my god, you know, mocking the oh my god. Why? Why is it necessary? You got the result you wanted, clearly. Clearly it's the result you wanted. Why did you need to further add on? Is it because the Met fan and the Mets team, they were kind of carrying themselves too well? Right? Because they were kind of introspective and feeling okay. Like they weren't despondent, not ripping their hair out, not doing the things that, you know, taking the high road. Worldwide leader, my ass. Worldwide leader, my fucking ass. If this is what you're going to do, if this is how you're going to run your operation for Fox 2, don't even bother. Don't even bother. Just be shills. Just be shameless shills for the team you want to win. You already do! Get up. It's about, what, the Cowboys and the Jets. Is there any other team that's featured on Get Up? I don't know. I'm at my job. All I see are clips of Greeny and when will Dak get paid? That seems to be Get Up. You have your favorites. You play your favorites. There's no reason to rub other people's nose in it. Because guess what? They can turn and do that to you. So if the Yankees happen to win the World Series, it's possible. Maybe the Yes Network. No, the Yes Network is a little too classy for that. ESPN, Fox Sports, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, the New York Giants. Holy fuck. Holy fuck. Saquon Barkley ran through you like crap through a goose. Absolutely ran through you. to the point where Nick Sirianni's on the sideline saying, "You're 14 yards shy of your career high. Go back out there." Nah, mate. Let the young kids eat. He was quite merciful. He was quite merciful. And then you have Giant fans burning Barkley jerseys, which is stupid. That's a waste of money. You cannot like the guy. I don't like the decision he made as a Giant fan. You had 30 other teams to go to. You chose that one? Really? Whatever. This is the bed they lied in. They made Daniel Jones the offer. They made Saquon Barkley expendable. I don't have to like where he went. I don't have to wish him well as a Giants fan. But I'm also not going to burn his jersey. That's a little much. And an inexcusable performance by the Giants. Completely inexcusable. New York Giants, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, Ed Reed. Did you catch the Manning cast? Did you hear Ed Reed talk about how the Guardian cap doesn't do anything for people?
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it was bad, man. It was really bad. And Peyton Manning is like cringing in his upper box. It's like, dude, Ed, stop talking. Ed, please just stop talking right now. Just, dude, cut it out. Either Peyton Manning is saying, don't say the thing that we already know, which I doubt that's the case. Or he's saying, you sound like a Neanderthal. And he's cringing because you sound like a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. Either way, it's a bad look, Ed. Tough player, hard hitter, ball hawk. Completely out of touch with that kind of take. Ed Reed, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we've said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.